on the show.
And we're live.
Hey, everybody. It's another episode of Masters of the Galaxy podcast, and I am Brian Ozone, and I am here with my buddy, The Miz, John, my partner in crime, and we have a very, very special guest tonight, Danielle Penny Dreadful. How are you? Glad to have you.
John dressed up for the occasion. I'm so honored.
I know.
This is actually normal for me.
So you usually dress as the Count from Sesame Street? That's awesome. One dis.
All right, guys, right before we start the show, my daughter just wants to chime in. So this is my little daughter, Jenna. You got to speak up, girlie. You gotta talk loud. They can't hear you.
Hi, Jenna.
Shy. Okay. All right.
She's very pretty. I love her bow.
Yeah, she's big into bows. All right, so let's get into the thick of things, Danielle. So let's if you don't mind, if you want to give a little like a backstory of you, you know, what you do, what you're into, things like that, the whole Penny Dreadful thing, you know, a lot of people don't get that, you know, with
I don't
show.
Get it either.
Yeah.
So, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm wearing a witch hat. I don't know how it happened.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So yeah, if you don't mind, just give a quick little, you know, intro about yourself. So those who don't know, now they'll know.
Sure. My name is Danielle.
Put my headphones on.
For 10 years, I hosted a horror movie show on local TV in New England. I had nothing to do with the Patriots. Don't blame me. obviously, witchcraft. They hired me to cast it.
What's the door? Okay. Thank you.
So I hosted a horror movie show on local TV for 10 years as Penny Dreadful the Witch in the tradition of Vampira, Zachary, Elvira, all the old school horror hosts. I was always a big old school horror movie fan and also was a big fan of Masters of the Universe growing up, starting in 1982 when I saw that Castle Grayskull commercial. And something about that commercial just, like, captivated me, you know. It was, like, that mystery of Masters of the Universe and seeing the box art, the paintings and everything.
Yeah,
and
super sucked.
But, you know, and then when the cartoon came out, I even got more sucked into it. Like, a lot of people who started before the cartoon got turned off by it. I actually had the opposite effect. Like, I loved it even more when the cartoon came out. It just, like, grew. And that passion for it never went away. You know, and I got involved in the fan community in the mid-90s and kind of was in and out for a while, but been involved for quite a while now, working on the brand in some capacity in different projects, some that are still a secret. The secrets of Grayskull cannot be revealed yet, and some,
yeah.
some have been. So.
it's cool what you said. I totally agree with the cartoon. It kind of like brought it to life, you know. It gave you, instead of using your imagination as a kid like that, it brought it to the forefront that you actually got to see He-Man and the other characters in action, and then you could, you know, use that to with your toys and imagination. So yeah, I think I had the same effect too. I agree. I think that's pretty much what happened with me as well.
Yeah. It was something about that, the cartoons, the He-Man and She-Ra, that's just, I don't know, it just captured, there was a feeling to it that you cared about, for me anyway, like, I cared about what happened to the characters, you know, so
yeah.
I loved the figures already, so then the cartoon just was another layer to that, it's been a really wild ride, seeing, like, all the different incarnations of He-Man that have come since then, and She-Ra, the She-Ra cartoon that's going to be coming out on Netflix, so...
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, are you involved in that, or no?
The Netflix series? No, I'm not involved in that. I'm waiting, like everybody else, to see what's going to happen, you know.
So, what are your expectations? Do you think it's going to be, Do you think it's going to have like it's just going to be like a brand new, complete brand new cartoon, Or do you think it's going to have things that from the old She-Ra cartoon or the old He-Man cartoon or things we already know, established stuff? Or do you think this is going to be something that's just going to be a whole brand new entity?
From what I've read online, it sounds like there's going to be some, they're going to be like a lot of nods to the original cartoon.
Okay, great.
A lot of the characters from the original cartoon are going to be in it, like from the Horde and the Rebellion, supposedly. And I don't think He-Man's going to be in it, but I think the door is open for that, from what I understand. Like, they're not, he's not there. They're going to kind of leave the door open. What about you guys? What do you think it's going to be like?
I'm hoping that it's going to be something cool that they're going to be able to bring in the characters that we already know. Maybe characters that were never made in the old cartoon that can make it as a new cartoon. Like the Star Sisters, you know, have them. And other things as well, and hopefully He-Man makes an appearance. I really think he should. I mean, I don't see why not. Maybe not as much as the old She-Ra cartoon. I mean, He-Man was in a lot. You know, pretty much that was like another season of He-Man. So, but I believe he should show up. At least in one episode to at least acknowledge the twins and things like that.
I agree. Yeah, I think He-Man eventually they have. I think they're doing. It's almost like they're going to do like a reverse of what they did in the 80s, like where it started with He-Man and then they brought in She-Ra. Maybe they're going to like work backward.
Yeah, that would work. I mean, I'm a fan either way. I mean, I bleed Masters and Pop, so. I mean, I'm going to watch it even if it's a stinker. So, what do you? Yeah, John, what do you think, man?
What's that?
No, I said John. What do you think?
I'm excited. Like you said, regardless if it's good or bad, I think it's important and it's keeping it relevant. And like you said, you want to see some of the old characters. You want to see some of the established characters. But also, I'm excited to maybe see if they introduce something new as well for new viewers, children, kids like that, stuff like that, to keep the storyline going.
Right.
To keep Masters going. Again, we all know what it is. We all love it. But maybe we're trying to recruit some new, like I said, younger kids, things like that. but like Danielle said, I think they're working in reverse. Like I said, starting with She-Ra this time. You know, 2000, they came out with He-Man again. Didn't do so well. So maybe we'll come with She-Ra. Maybe she kicks ass. Excuse my language, but
I think He-Man in 2000 did good. It's just they screwed up with the time slots. There was no publicity for them. They really kind of screwed them. The same thing happened with Thundercats, the new revival.
Yep.
That was a great cartoon. It was amazing. But again, you know, with bad toy sales. Bad spots, TV spots, you know, it dug its own grave.
Yep.
Yeah, it's too bad that happened too, because those were exciting times when that show came out, when the 2002 He-Man came out.
My god, yeah. You remember He-Man.org was going insane with that. I mean, it was great. I mean, I tell the story all the time. It's like back then, you know, we didn't have smartphones and things like that, so I would run home from work and jump right on the computer and just read everything, you know, people posting everything all day long. And my ex-fiance at the time that I was living with, she was like, what are you doing? You don't understand. You don't get it. I'm sorry. You know, I'll get back to you in half hour, 20 minutes when I'm done, so.
My husband was very supportive of my obsession with Masters of the Universe. Like, you know, when we first met, it was around that time that cartoon was coming out, and we didn't have cable at the time. And I was like, baby, we gotta get cable because cartoon's coming. We gotta get cable. That was why we got cable, to watch He-Man. He was always like super supportive, and he'd go to PowerCon and help and stuff. But he was a little, you know, was a little bit older, so it was like a little bit after his time. But he got into it through me vicariously. You know?
yeah, that's cool. So I know you're into you did some work with the Dark Horse books. Which books did you particularly work on?
I worked on several of them. I worked on the first one we did was The Art of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and that was Val Staples and I were advisors on that book. So we were hired to kind of just give some feedback and, on the book and in terms of some of the content and phrasing on certain things, and we contributed some content on that. And that was the one that kind of got me involved in that stuff. And then we did the mini comics collection, and I did all the interviews in that. With the creators. I interviewed all the creators, and then one of the creators, Michael Halperin, had told me that he had some scripts for mini comics that he still had from the 80s, and he sent them to me, and one of them was like, had never been turned into a mini comic. It was called Ring of Dreams, and it was
really
at Faker and Evil Inn, and it was supposed to come with Faker and Evil Inn. And then Michael Halperin wrote a bunch of mini comics, so we published that in the book. It's like after the comic that James found, there's like a script for an unpublished mini comic, and it would be awesome if somebody ever drew that something.
It'd definitely be cool if someone actually drew a cartoon or a comic for that.
Totally, right? It would be awesome.
It definitely would be. I mean, the half of the job is done. It's already written. You just write and draw it.
Totally, right. Get Larry Houston or somebody to draw that. That would be amazing. And then the one I'm probably the most proud of is the newspaper strip book. Because
that, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I have some newspaper clippings originally, but I didn't know it was to that extent. I thought it was just like, you know, like the regular four, what are they called? Like squares or boxes or whatever. Whatever in the paper. But that's a lot of content. I was really shocked at that.
Yeah, four and a half years that comic strip ran every day.
I know.
You must have had it. You must have been like New York Daily News or something, because it was running in New York.
Yeah. I got it because I live in New York. I read it. I've read it as a kid, but I never saved it. I saved some later on in life. But
yeah, it's amazing because like of all the years, right, that Masters of the Universe has been around, over 35 years now, Masters of the Universe has been around, and the fandom has been around since the mid-90s, like late 95. And even after all these years, we had the DVDs and we had, the comic books that are published and have all this stuff that's pretty easy to get, but the comic books were kind of like out there somewhere lost in the world, right? So I was like, I made it kind of a mission I had to do to find these. And so Val also got into it as well, and we wound up getting in touch with the original writer who kept a lot of those materials.
That's good.
We scanned a bunch of stuff at their house. We went out to start looking at microfilm, the Library of Congress, overseas.
Wow.
India, getting wow. get. We were just doing a lot of research and trying to make contact with people in Brazil. Like, I had to contact the newspaper in Brazil and try to convince them to send us the color Sunday. We lucked out, and we wound up getting, like, almost everything except for 35 missing strips. And I found up over half of those missing strips already. I've already located, but some of them were sold at PowerCon.
Yes. Yeah, I remember getting the email from you. That kind of sucked. Yeah,
it kills me. And if anybody was at PowerCon and you bought something that looks like this, I don't know if you can see this, but if you bought something that looks like this, these are proof sheets for the comic strips. There were two of these proof sheets sold that have about 12 strips on them total, and those are missing comic strips. So if you bought them, get in touch with me or Brian or John or Doug.
There's
a report if you come forward. And we just need a scan. We don't want the original. It's yours. You bought it, but we would like a scan of that. So, definitely exciting. And then, of course, I worked also a lot on the character guide. I wrote a lot of entries in the character guide, which was a huge job that almost killed me doing that.
I can imagine. That book is crazy. I'll tell you, man. That book is I thumb through it all the time. There's so much content in that book. It's ridiculous. The amount of work you guys did in that, I mean, you got to pat yourself on the back because it's insane, man.
That was a big collaborative project, right? Like, it was so many people that were involved that wrote on that book and that did image restoration and just layout. I mean, it was like a huge group of people that worked on that. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, it's a pretty solid product there. So
Yeah. No, all the Dark Horse books are great. Now, I know there's things that you can and can't speak about, but I'll ask a question anyway, and maybe you have an answer or not. Do you still, are there still plans for more books to come out with Dark Horse?
There are some things that I can't talk about.
Right.
That I can't say anything about at this time. I don't know what the... Let's just say there could be things happening.
Okay.
There's so many other things that could be done as books. That's all I can say. But there, if you think about all this content that exists for the last 35 years that could still be put out in book form, there's so much stuff, right?
Right. Well, if you have any clout and any say in it, please, I would love to get all the magazines, the Masters, the She-Ra, the New Adventures, those magazines, the annuals in a book.
The UK stuff, I would
and
love.
I was going to say also, all the UK stuff in another book would be great too, because that stuff is hard to find, and the amount of money that these people want on eBay and other places, it's friggin' mind-boggling. I was able to I don't know. I have to find it. I do have all of the UK books scanned. Someone sent them to me. I do have all of them.
I have that too. That right. I have it right here. I think I do. Is this what you have? Like a disc with all that?
It could be if you could send that to me because I can't. I can't locate mine.
I got it on eBay. Is there a way to burn? I don't know. We can talk about it after.
Yeah. Because I've had it. I don't know if my wife put it somewhere, but I can't find it. I don't know. But yeah, no, that book is great, man. It has everything in it. And you know, it's cool to have it on the computer, but I'd rather it in book form, you know, because then you can, I don't know. I like books. I like to have them in a collection. And I'll tell you, man, Dark Horse has been kicking ass with what they've been doing. They really turned it up. I didn't expect it to be as well as it has been.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and a book that I didn't work on that is awesome is my friend James Etock did the Filmation book, the He-Man and She-Ra.
Busta.
I mean, that book is amazing. That's like his dream come true, right? I mean, site days, and then he did the unofficial guide, and then it finally culminated in that official guide, and it's a work of art. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's funny because he did his book by himself. You know, and I'll tell you what, man, the book that he did, the research and all of the knowledge he's got is ridiculous in there. I mean,
yeah.
You know, breaking down every episode and it's insanity, man.
Yeah.
You know, my hat goes off to him. He's another guy that's crazy, that does a lot of good stuff for the community. People don't know who we're talking about. We're talking about James Etock. He goes by the Busta Tunes. He's one of the biggest Filmation junkies that I know. That guy must own, like, millions of cells. He's got so much stuff, man. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. If if you ever see him at the PowerCon or whatnot, you know, he's a nice guy.
Are you guys going to PowerCon this year?
I already booked my flights. I booked my hotel.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm definitely going.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get out of the house. Currently, I'm tied to a MASH marathon.
Well, a MASH marathon.
I'm trying. Brian's trying to talk me into it.
Yeah, I spoke to John's girlfriend. I got her to. Now it's up to them to go. I got a room that has two beds, so you know, if we want, we can split the room, or whatever. But yeah, man, I'm just waiting to buy the ticket and the shuttle bus whenever that comes through, and I'm in. I never miss PowerCon. It's my favorite thing of the year.
Nice. This year it's Filmation celebrating the 35th anniversary of Filmation He-Man and 10th anniversary of Classics.
Masters yeah. It's 10 years. It's insanity, man.
Yep. It's 2000 years. Hard to believe, right?
Yeah. It's still going strong after all this time. You know, the only thing that I really, really, really am not happy about is the Thundercats. I really wish that we got to finish at least the main characters. Yeah. And I spoke to Brian from Super 7, and, you know, they're still trying to get it. They're still trying to finish it out, and I hope they do.
They should at least do, like you said, the main ones, you know?
Yeah. We need just, like, I think 5 or 6 more, and you know, that's it. That'd be great if they could do that. If they do more, that's even better, but
they tried to get it, you know? Yeah. They tried to get the rights, but it was like they weren't.
I just want the main team at least. You know, it kind of sucks having half of them, and, you know, Pumaira is cool and all, but I'd rather Chitara than her.
Chitara, Tigra, Snarf, you gotta have Snarf. And then
I got Snarf right here from Loyal Subjects.
Nice. Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah. That's yeah. Just got him in the mail today.
Nice.
You guys, have you guys seen those knockoff Masters Legos?
Yeah, yeah, we have a set of them.
Yeah, I bought a set. I bought a set of the Thundercats today. Man, they're freaking awesome.
Yeah, nice. They do nice work.
Yeah, they're awesome. I hope that shows Legos that, hey, man, there's interest in them.
Yeah, maybe when the movie comes out. Supposedly, yeah. If it ever comes out, maybe they'll...
That's a big if, Danielle, because we've been hearing about this movie now for over 10 years. It's,
I know, right?
I tend to block it out until I actually see physical stuff, because it's been a nightmare, you know, all these promises and stuff.
And we saw the great battle suit. Come on, bro.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, you know, hey, maybe that they were just like trolling the fans.
That's a pretty rough way to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could just be like a design that just like is in the movie for like 5 seconds, and I hope it's like tradition, has more traditional elements in it from Masters of the Universe. Well, too.
Yeah. Well, from what I read, it's going to be based all on Eternia, so it should be a decent movie. And from what I read, they're looking to do more than one movie. They want to do like a franchise or whatever it's called. So, the first one may be a little slow and boring, you know, because there might be a lot of storytelling, characters, and things like that. But they are planning on doing more than one. So, hopefully, they leave off with a good cliffhanger, and they take it from there. And, hey, it's going to be a cash cow if you look at it, because, you know, how many He-Man nerds are there? There's a lot of us.
There's
a lot of us. I mean, that's a movie I'll probably go see a few times in the theater before I buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited to see anything again right now at this point. Like I said, since 2000, 2002, I was excited about that. I enjoyed the MYP stuff. Like I said, I was standing in a Walmart when I turned around and looked and said, holy spit, that's He-Man. and then I filled my shopping cart up and spent about $400 and everything they had.
Nice.
For about 3 weeks, and then sold it off for $70 to go out drinking one night. So I have some regrets.
Yeah. I heard you say that in another episode. I was like, no.
Yeah. You told me.
I sold my vintage collection off in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and now that's like my big regret in life. Like, how did I sell my vintage collection?
Yeah. The thing The thing that I did was when they said about the classics line coming out, I sold my statues or whatever they're called.
Stactions.
The Stactions, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got rid of that. I sold all them. I have a few. I bought a few back, but I don't have the complete collection. And also, I was pissed off that they never came out with that Faker. what's his name? Camel Con. I was calling him Camel Con. Two pack. So I knew something was up when they canceled that. And, you know, that kind of sucked. I got a question for you, Danielle, because this is a question that a lot of people have. They either love it, hate it, whatever. What's your opinion on the New Adventures?
New Adventures? That's a good question. Okay, so back in when New Adventures first came out, I remember being in the living room with my sister, and they announced on the commercial, coming up next, He-Man. And my sister and I both looked at each other and we were like, what? He-Man? He-Man cartoon? No way! And we were so excited, right? So we sit on the couch. We're so excited for He-Man to come on. And then all of a sudden, it's like...
yeah.
The power of Eternia? You know, and I was like, what the hell is this? This is horrific. Like, it was nothing like what I remembered. And I was so angry. I watched, like, maybe the first episode or the first half of the episode, and I turned it off. And then I was in the store, and I saw the New Adventures figures. And I liked Optic. I was like, Optic's cool.
Optic's cool, yeah.
Optic's cool. And then I looked at some of the other ones, and the colors were just, like, ugly. And just, like, they were small. And at the time, I was very, let's just say I was not thrilled by the New Adventures at the time. But over the years, it grew on me for a while. Adventures, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, I don't know, I started, I think it was when Classic started doing, like, New Adventures, classics versions of New Adventures figures, and they looked freaking awesome. They were like,
yeah,
really,
they did them really well.
Fantastic figures. And I bought the BCI DVDs, and I watched the series, and I was like, you know, this is not like my ideal version of He-Man, but it's like, I mean, it was fun. If I think of it as like, this is just a chapter in He-Man's story,
right,
and like, where it ends up. Then I can kind of accept it that way. I mean, the show is definitely flawed. Like, it's no Filmation series or a lot of the comics are definitely superior. But it has good parts to it. It has a lot of continuity to it and storylines and characters that are introduced to it. So there are a lot of good things to like about it. And the figures are amazing. The new Adventures figures that they do.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. See, my story is that. I remember same thing. He-Man is coming out, and I was like, "Oh, this is great!" You know, they brought him back, and then I see him with pants and a ponytail. And you know, from the Power of Eternia, I was like, "This is ridiculous!" And then, yeah, again, like you, I went to Toys R Us, and then I saw the figures, and all the mutants look really bad. They look like shit. You know, they were all like, you know, they were all like these bulky and really weird looking, like really mutant, like, you know, it just didn't fit, you know. So I didn't like it. I didn't watch it. I didn't get into it. So, well, fast forward. So the 2000 X series ended, and I needed a fix. I needed a fix bad. So I got in touch with Mark, and he was able to hook me up with the entire series. And I went into the series completely open-minded, and I didn't go into it remembering, you know, anything else. I went into it fresh, and I think that's what made me like it even more. So I went into it, and I'll be honest with you, I love it. I'm a huge New Adventures fan, probably one of the biggest fans there are. I think it's a great story. It's not like Filmation. Filmation, each cartoon is, that's it. It's a cartoon, except for like the House of Chakotay has a two-part. But other than that, you know, the New Adventures cartoon is a continuation from start to finish, from every, you know, from the whole season. which is awesome. And yeah, they did bring in a lot of cool new characters. They did. There's a lot of things that I wouldn't have done. There's also, you know, like Master Sebrian. But the thing that makes me laugh is He-Man and Skeletor both show up to Primus, right? Yeah. And Skeletor sees Prince Adam, and the dude never puts two and two together. It's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? It's like, come on, Skeletor.
I know. That was the first thing I thought of, too. I'm like, why doesn't he recognize Prince Adam? He knows exactly who he is.
Yeah. His name is Prince Adam. I mean,
he wasn't even trying to hide it. Like, no. Except for that toga, you know.
Yeah, it's completely bonkers, but honestly, I mean, you know, I'd have to say for people out there, you got to go give it a chance. You got to go in it open-minded. Don't go in there and try to analyze it as a Filmation Part 2, because it's not. It's its own canon, it's its own entity, and if you go into it that way, I'm pretty sure you're going to like it. You're going to enjoy it, and you're going to be mad at the end because the cliffhanger was great.
Don't spoil it. I haven't watched it yet.
I'm not. But I'm saying the cliffhanger was great, and supposedly the season two, they were coming back to Eternia, which would have been great because Fisto took over Snake Mountain, so that would have been a battle between him and Skeletor. And then you're going to have all these mutants come up to Snake Mountain. You're going to have all the Galactic Guardians or whatever the hell they're called come to Eternia and help the good guys out. So it would have been really cool. I mean, I spoke to Jack Oleaster about it and things like that, you know, and the creator of New Adventures, director, writer, whatever. See, you know, the next season would have been freaking amazing, man. It would have been great.
Yeah, I read a lot of what he was saying about, like, Man-at-Arms turns bad and, like, takes over Eternia. And going to come back to Eternia. And it was going to be, like, they had to kind of convince, not bad. He, like, went, became, like, a tyrant.
Yeah. But, you know, what's funny? They always seem to make Man-at-Arms bad. They made him, like, a serpent.
What is up with that? Poor Man-at-Arms. Come on. He's, like, he's always man out. He's helping everybody out, and then they want to make him a bad guy? Come on.
And the thing is, too, is that he knows about He-Man's secret identity. And you know, he's like he would be, like, the worst guy to become a villain because he'll give away He-Man's secret.
That is true.
You know,
that could always be like a threat, you know, hanging on.
Yeah, it definitely could be. I mean, he could definitely give that up in 2 seconds. And then, you know, He-Man's whole identity, that whole thing is shot. And then Skeletor will go after his brother Randor and Marlena and things like that. So I think that was I think it's stupid that they always make Man-at-Arms the villain.
Now, what did you guys think of the 87 movie when that came up?
John. You go.
Nah, man. I'm just listening. I'm listening.
You've been quiet. Go speak. Talk.
I say it every time. The movie is ruined for me in the first 2 minutes when I saw He-Man grab a blaster and start shooting robots. I guess. Yeah. He-Man for me was Filmation, then the toys. So I had always known him, with a sword or a shield or an axe. So yep. When I saw that, it was literally like, oh shit. not hugely disappointed with it. It was Masters of the Universe, you know, Skeletor looked badass. I didn't quite get the new characters at the time when I was younger. I was like, who are these people? Why are they here? But now, you know, understanding why they were there, you know, what purpose they were, who they represented. I haven't watched it in a few years. My girlfriend has recently become a collector in, like, the last year, so I'm gonna sit her down and we're both gonna try to power through it.
Awesome. Have a few drinks.
Yeah.
Filmation, it might be like a more difficult transition to that. But it's he's definitely an easier transition than New Adventures, I would say. There's definitely more elements to the live-action movie that are familiar than there are, I would say, New Adventures, which is a big departure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, I saw the movie the day it came out. I remember I went with my uncle and my cousin, and I was super stoked. I think we even got free figures. I think they were giving away figures at that time. I honestly... as a kid, I loved the movie. I thought it was great. I had no problems with it. I mean, the problems I did have with it, I didn't like that they went to Earth. I thought that was kind of boring. I agree with John with the blaster. There was no transition of Prince Adam to He-Man. There was no I have the power or any of that good stuff. But, you know, if you go and you have the Blu-ray and you listen to the documentary... it explains all that stuff, you know. It gives, and there's a book too. I forgot the name of it. I read a book about it, about Gary Goddard and the movie. You know, there's reasons why. Like, there's no Orko, so they put Gwildor.
Don't get me going on Gwildor. Come on, man.
Well, you know what though,
flute player.
I honestly love the character of Gwildor. I think he fits the mythos very well. I mean, the Cosmic Key is one of the biggest weapons you can think of that's in the continuity now. So for me, in the movie, I enjoyed it. I like it. I watch it from time to time. Even now, I throw it on. Dolph Lundgren as He-Man. Now I can say he's. Acting wise, kind of sucked. he really didn't have a lot of speaking parts. I wish they would have did more with that as He-Man. I wish they would have did more on Eternia, things like that. But they didn't. And it's funny in the movie, you know, Skeletor has this army of robots or whatever the heck they're called. Running rampant through the streets, and yet there's not one person that lives there looking through the window or coming outside or, you know, or anything. You know, it's insane. And, you know, because it's like a small little rural town. I mean, things like that, people go nuts over. You know, they'll be outside calling each other, being on the stoops.
You know, to hire extras for those scenes.
Yeah,
skimp on that. When that movie came out, let me tell you, I was probably maybe a little older than you guys. I don't know. When that movie came out, I was 14, and my reaction to it was when I first saw, like, I went into the store and I picked up the Masters of the Universe magazine, and there was an article about the movie in there. It was like He-Man movie. I was like, what? And I was flipping through it, and then I looked at the pictures, and I was like. What? Like, this doesn't, that's supposed to be Beast Man? That's Skeletor. Yeah. I can see his eyes. What's going on here? Like, I had the same reaction then that fans had now to the Teela battle suit. Like, it was so weirdly different when I looked at it.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, if the internet existed back then, I would have been like, But, I didn't even go see it. I was so mad. I was like Tyler Baker level mad. I was like, I am not going to go see this. I refused to go see it. I protest. I didn't go see it. So then I finally got to see it on Superstation TBS one night. It was on like late at night on Superstation TBS. I was like, okay, I'm going to watch the He-Man movie. And it was like sometime probably in the early 90s. And I watched it and I was like, it was kind of cool. Like, I liked it. You know, I was like, I kind of was. At first I didn't like Gwildor too. I was like, I'd rather have Orko, but then I liked Gwildor. The movie grew on me, and then I watched
it. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's kind of like New Adventures did too. I'm like, I kind of like it now. Like, I like the mythos, like that, some of the elements that they introduced. Like you said, the Cosmic Key is like such a major item.
Artifacts,
all these interesting characters. Like Blade was such a cool character. Sauron, Ben Foster was such a good Evil Lyn. Franklin was a great Skeletor. Like, they had some really good actress. I thought Man at Arms was good. John Cypher, I thought, did
yes,
a good
yes. job. Yes, they were all well. I don't know if you know this, but I actually came up with an idea about the new adventures with the classics line, about how to introducing them to, you know, Eternia instead of having Primus and all that. And it's on He-Man.org somewhere in the archives. You can find it. And I spoke to Jack Oleester about it. And, you know, he's the creator of New Adventures. So what my idea was to use Gwildor and the Cosmic Key for He-Man to go to Primus and get the Galactic Guardians and bring them back to Eternia, to, you know, or modern day Eternia, whatever you want to call it. But again, you know, somehow Skeletor and his mutants got involved or whatever and came. But I tried to, you know, I forget the exact wordings and stuff what I wrote. And Jack was completely flabbergasted about it. He loved the idea so much that he actually went to Mattel and pitched it to him.
Wow.
But at that time, Scott Neitlich was in charge of all the bios and everything. Uh-huh. So he nixed it. You know, he said, no, I write the bios. It's already done. You know, we can't use it, this and that. So it was never used. But it was, to me, I thought it would have been a good idea of using, making Gwildor more relevant and the Cosmic Key more relevant and, you know, bringing them and using them to bring the guys from Primus and things like that to modern-day Eternia. But, again, like I said, you can go on He-Man.org and find it. It's on there somewhere. But, it was pretty cool that Jack actually did that, you know. Awesome. I wasn't expecting him to go to Mattel, and, you know, he did.
That's awesome. A lot of times with the big companies like that, it's like they get – paranoid about legal stuff, so you got to
contract,
all this kind of stuff. That I've dealt with some of that too, and it's like you got to. There's a lot of legal stuff that, and I know Scott was always like super afraid of any, not afraid, but you know, prudent about legality and stuff like that. So that's probably why. But you should write a fanfic about it. You know, write a story about it.
No, without a doubt. I mean, I get the point. You know, you have to draw up contracts and sign things and things like that. And you know, I would have done whatever it had to be done to do it. I mean, it would have been great to have my name in the He-Man mythos. It would have been awesome, but it never came to light. And unfortunately, it sucks that it just never worked out. I wish it did. I it's pretty cool that Jack did all that. Awesome. I never asked him, but he did. You know, it's really cool that.
Did you get to meet him when he came to PowerCon?
Yes, I did.
Awesome, cool.
Yeah, I got to meet. I think the best year was it last year or the year before when they did the 87 movie.
This was that was this past one last year.
Yeah, with Gary Goddard,
Power Tour and 87 movie, and I was so psyched because I had Val and I had really tag teamed after the newspaper strips. I was like, the next thing we have to find is the Power Tour, you know. So
that needs to be out there. We need a Blu-ray of that I saw that as a kid. I was there, but I don't remember it, you know, so many years ago and whatnot. So at PowerCon, that was great that they showed it.
I remember you were at the panel watching it. Yeah.
No, that was great. It was awesome. But there's got to be a master, you know, super quality or whatever it's called, of it out there somewhere.
Yeah, Gus, who played Ninjor, has over a dozen film versions of it, you know, and he said some have good quality, but he wants to release it legally and wants to get, a distributor and has to get, like, there's a lot of legality involved because Goddard, Goddard owns part of it, Mattel owns part of it, DreamWorks, there's a lot of
hands involved in that, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah. I just want a sponsor figure. If they release a sponsor figure, I'll be pretty happy.
But that's another thing too, with all the whenever they ask and they give you a list of figures who you want made, Songster's the first person I write, man. I want him to be made because I think the Power Tour is one of the least recognized canons in Masters, and it should be more predominant because it's part of the lore. It's its own canon.
Yeah,
and
Songster was in one of the mini comics. He has a cameo.
I think he was in two actually.
Was he?
I think he was in a cameo, and then he was a storyteller in another.
Yes,
one.
That's the one. Yeah.
So now that he's in the comics, he could definitely be made. I really hope they do come to make him. Actually, I speak to Doug Howard. He's the actor who played him, and he's gonna be on the show. He's gonna be on in a couple of weeks, I think. So we'll be able to talk about that. But I really, really hope that one day we do get the Power Tour because I'm such a fan. I have so much things from the Power Tour. I have different He-Man swords. I have a He-Man, a She-Ra, an Orko, and a Skeletor banner.
Nice.
That, you know, it's on a stick that the kids, you know, you wave in the air. I got pins. I got posters. I think I got like the original poster that they would put like in the marquee and things wow. like that. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm a really big fan of it. I really, really want that to be published. I really hope that.
See, online, Daniel Benedict posted the panel, and you can see a lot of the Power Tour in the
yeah,
panel.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's cool. Yeah. I really want like a good quality.
Definitely, I agree.
You know, a DVD that I can sit back and watch and be like, wow, this is great, you know, because, like I said, it's part of the canon. People don't recognize it, but you have to because it's part of the Masters lore, you know?
Story. I mean, it's like a two-hour story, a Masters of the Universe story with an act one and act two, and it gives you,
right.
like, lore of how Castle Grayskull came to creation, to be created, how Adam got the power sword, how Adora became She-Ra, and
there's
like a whole story behind it. So, I mean, it was for kids, but so was everything else in the 80s for Masters of the Universe.
Right,
so,
right.
Like a lot of songs, and it's a musical pretty much. It's a two-act musical, but it's there's a whole big story in that. So I hope it gets a release. It deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we get a Songster figure because that's the only figure from the Power Tour or character that hasn't been made.
There's one other character in it, but I don't think they'll ever make a figure of it because it's like it was Captain Morrison. Captain Morrison, he operated the transporter from Eternia, and he had like a helmet.
Oh, yeah.
kind of like a nobody character. Like, I don't think Songster is like a star in that, right? So he should get.
Yeah, no, but I mean, they need to represent that with the character. And like I said, every time they had a poll of who you wanted made, as soon as I saw his name, he was my first pick. Always, I want him so bad.
It was Super 7 now running things. You know, I mean, anything is possible. You know, all the vintage line is done. From She-Ra, except for the variants, they got to finish New Adventures too. If they finish. And Songster, there's some like international characters that are awesome too, like from Brazil and Italy and Germany and UK.
Yes.
Like, there's just so many. It could never end. Like, they could just
no. I mean, look what they're doing now. They're redoing the Filmation figures already. You know, so it's you know, we're rocking and rolling, man. There's a lot to be done.
So is Songster your number one want
right now? Songster, yeah. I mean. First, it was Batros. He's one of my favorite, if not my favorite villain. Also, Kamikaze.
Yeah,
is another figure I want. I want Leo Faker.
Nice.
And Songster. Those are the characters that I really want made. Other than you know the regular figures that you know you'll know they're gonna make. So,
what about you, John? Or do you have any top wants for classics?
You know, I want to see a Filmation Ram Man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's got to happen.
That's I'm like a big Ram Man fan.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd definitely be cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love him in Filmation.
Yeah. Yeah, and he'll definitely be smaller, so that'd be pretty cool. He'd have to be a new buck and everything.
Totally, yeah. He is shorter than the other ones. He has to have that kind of expression on his face, that expression that he has. I'd love him in Stratos. I'd love to get a Filmation She-Ra, which would not look that different, really, from the Classics version, but it would be cool to get her Filmation version. It would be cool to get... There's so many Filmation characters, like, you could get any of the main characters from Filmation would be cool. And then for, like, Collector's Choice, I definitely want the Twiggets, like, the three main ones.
That'd be cool to get, like, a three-pack of the Twiggets or whatever, six-pack.
Yeah, totally. That, three that'd of them. Be nice. And then I'd love to get, there's just so many characters. Like, Shirella, I would really like. She's from, like, Powers of Grayskull, like, the
yeah, yeah.
Yes. I'd love to get any of the new Adventures figures would be all Master Severian, Lizor, is a big one for me, Nocturna, like some of those guys.
I was really glad that they made Darius. I was really glad they made
him. And he's great. He looks so good. Like,
Oh yeah. They made him really good. It's just a shame he wasn't a part of the cartoon for some reason. They nixed him for Master Severian.
That's true. Yeah, I like Master Severian too, but Darius is cool. And some of those, when we were doing the character guide, I had to get translations for the Italian comics, and he's a major player in the Italian comics, Darius, and those comics are really cool. Like, they're more, a little bit more adult. Like, I think they're written more for, like, teenagers. Pretty badass. Like, and Darius is a major character in those Italian comics. And the Brazilian too. He shows up in the Brazilian ones as well, and I think the UK ones.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of international things that a lot of people don't know about because we don't have access to it. And hopefully, Dark Horse and they can do something about that.
Yeah, definitely. And then Axel is on some really cool characters too. Like Axel Jimenez has been doing like character designs.
Yes.
Like, get some of those guys too. Like, there's so many options out there for characters that we could still get.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I think might be on the show soon too.
Yeah. Oh, Lady Slither is so cool. Like, I would love Lady Slither.
Oh yeah.
Hunger the Harpy. Like, so many, like, the monsters, characters are cool.
Yeah. For, like, the Horde. Yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty cool to have all those, what is that, Tom Art? The Tom Art figures?
Yeah, Tom Arts. Yeah, some of those, and in the Power Noir catalog. Those kind of, like, concept characters. Like, of course, I want the witch, the Green Witch.
Yeah.
I gotta have my Green Witch at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that eventually they'll make them, because they are making a lot of concept figures, so hopefully they go down that road and do that. I mean, sooner or later they're gonna run out of figures, main character figures that they made already. So they're gonna have to do something if they're gonna continue the line, and I don't see why not. Just keep making the concept and things like that. I mean, I know I would take it. I would buy it.
I'm buying.
If you had told me in the 90s, like back in the 90s, we would post on the Guardians of Grayskull mailing list.
I remember that.
Yeah, were you on it too?
No, I wasn't on it because you know why? It's funny too. Like, even with the org, I think I joined actually in January of 93, but I've been on the org probably since like 1990. I just didn't know. I'm like computer stupid. I just didn't know how to join. So I know I was I watched everything, but I just didn't know how to join because I was so computer retarded.
Like, back then, I mean, it was like, 96, 97, 98. Like, we were like all like wishing that Mattel would bring back Masters of the Universe at all. Like, there was nothing. Like,
it's a drought
going on, like nothing until like the commemorative line came out. There was nothing. So if you would like had told the fans back then and showed them the Classics line, like if you could use the cosmic key and bring all those figures to the past, I think completely lost their minds. Like, nobody would have possibly imagined we would have a line like that, like, with every freaking character you can imagine.
Yeah.
Every brand, all connected and fitting all together in one cohesive line with over 200 figures. Now we're headed going into, not there yet, but we're going to hit 300 probably.
Oh, yeah. I remember it was one of the St. Patrick Day parades, and I had to use the bathroom, so I went into FAO Schwartz, and they had I forgot which cartoon was on the TV, but they had one of the original Filmation cartoons on, and I was like, "What the hell?" So I walked past. I went to the bathroom. I came back out, and they had a whole setup of the commemoratives.
Nice.
Whole setup. But, you know, FAO Schwartz, you know, taxed $10 more than what you can get at anywhere else. So, and plus, I was drunk as a skunk on St. Patty's Day. So I didn't buy any. But I do remember that pretty clear.
Yeah, those commemoratives. Yeah, that was really cool when that happened. And that was like, then that led right into the announcement. 2002 cartoon. But I didn't buy the commemoratives because. I had just sold my vintage collection because I was going to move to California. And I had, in the 90s, I went nuts and I got like everything I was missing. The only things I was missing was I never got was Titus and Vegator, and I didn't get a Wonder Bread here or those brown hair men. But I back then in the 90s, everything was cheap. Like resellers were selling figures. Like you could buy like, you know, Clamp Champ and Mosquito from Figures Inc. for like $15. I bought bunch of those. I carded like mint card. I got the laser figures from a vendor overseas, an overseas seller, because there used to be this thing called Toy Shop Magazine. It was like a newspaper, and I would scan through it. And my friend Meredith, she collected Pez, you know, so she'd look for Pez, and I would look for Masters. And I found a guy was selling Laser Light He-Man and Laser Power Skeletor, and I was like, what is this? Or Laser Light Skeletor and Laser Power He-Man. I was like, what the hell is this? So I called him, and he sold them to me. It was $75 a piece on a car.
That's not bad.
And I posted those first pictures of those figures on the internet. I sent them to Adam Tyner, and he posted them on what later became He-Man.org. And James actually still has those pictures I posted that I sent Adam. And then I sold them. I wound up selling them off later when I moved out to California. I was like, everything's got to go. I got to sell all the stuff. And I sold most of my vintage collection. I got a lot back, like Magoo, my late husband, he bought me, like, at PowerCon. He was going from table to table and buying figures, and he gave them to me for my birthday and Christmas and stuff. So the ones I have now actually have new sentimental value, because...
So where do you live now? You're on the West Coast?
No, I'm on the East Coast. I'm near Boston. I'm, like, an hour south of Boston, near Providence.
All right, so yeah. Okay. Yeah, so you're close. Yeah, you're close to us. We're all on the East Coast. I'm in New York City. He's upstate.
Nice.
We're hours away from each other. That's cool.
Yeah,
upstate New York, not the prison.
Yeah, not Sing Sing. All right, guys. Well, we'll wrap this up. Danielle, it was a pleasure. Thank you for joining us, and maybe you'll come back on another day when the projects you're working on come out, and we can speak more about it, which would be great.
Awesome. I'm really excited about these projects. It's probably the most exciting thing I've worked on for Masters of the Universe. So I'm really hoping that you guys will dig it. And two big projects that we're working on right now.
Awesome.
And I thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah, it's great. It's always great talking to someone that has knowledge, you know, about it, you know. But yeah, give me a buzz when you're able to talk about it. We'll set up a show for you. Come on, and you can talk more about things.
Awesome. Next time I'll try not to talk so much next time. I apologize.
Yeah.
Chew you guys' ear off.
But you wore the Dracula costume, so that alone was epic and awesome to the point where it's like you can just stand there and look ominous.
I just stand like, it was a pleasure meeting you, Danielle.
Great meeting you, John. Take care.
Thank you. You as well.
Yeah, guys. All right. So, we're going to wrap it up. Again, thanks, Danielle. I really appreciate it. Thanks to my partner, John. Thanks for Pop Culture Network Com for having us. And don't forget, if you want to listen to this and past the episodes, you can go to MOTGpodcast.com and listen to this and past episodes. Come to Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page and you know, give us ideas, chat, talk, post, do whatever you want to do. And we'll see you next Monday. We got Chris Hummel as our guest. And until next time, guys, rock on, man. I'll see you guys later. Thanks again.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.